that, you know, hey, when I die, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a whole frereezer made full of cookies, and y'all just put this plate on my body, on my hands, and I'll be just, they can reach in and grab a cookie.
Oh, no, I'm not. No, we're not reaching in and taking a cookie out of your casket. Or what is wrong with you?
My cold, dead hands.
No, just, you could even have a sign, take one out of my cold, dead hand. Joni.
Laying there holding the platter, and you can just get a cookie. And
no. But I like, we're not doing that. We're not putting cookies in your casket and having people take out and then start munching. No, we're absolutely not doing that.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Everybody, welcome to episode 183 of Designer Cornbread. We are so glad you're here. We hope you, I don't know, I guess the line might be the blooper at the end. Don't forget to listen to the bloopers probably at the end. I'll sing you a special song.
I was serenaded at the very beginning of this podcast.
Well, I wanted you to feel loved and welcomed.
I'd feel very loved and welcomed.
Okay, good. That was my whole goal. Well, what is going on, Watermelon? You just said you weren't going to talk. She said she's talked too much. I told her this is probably almost the first time I've talked today, except to the dog.
All right, so Holly, energy, and like I said, I'm going to sit here and make guttural noises.
She said, I'm just going to nod at you. And I'm like, they can't see, like, no. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. I got a few things to talk about. Nothing major. Nothing at all major. Just sort of life, little life things. This weekend, I'm trying to see, what did we do this week? I went to the book fair on Friday. St. Louis has a big, ginormous book fair every year. I think it's a charity. It raises money for something. It's been going on for years and years. So I got out and went to that and schlepped around and got a few things. And that was pretty fun. And then really didn't do anything else. This was stayed home. Saturday was great. We just putzed and did stuff. I got some stuff organized around the house. And I got to work on a little more. It's not finished yet. Did I tell you about my toad garden? I told you about that, didn't I?
We had a detailed conversation about the toad garden.
Okay. Was that on the podcast or was that just you and me?
Okay. On the podcast.
Okay, I can't. You guys are just so much a part of, like, I feel like I can't tell when I'm talking to you or when it's just Joni.
You realize Caleb Shank is terrified of frogs.
I forgot that. Okay, well, you know, it'll be fine because they're just on the, he'll be fine. I won't tell him. I'll just call it a rock garden and then he won't know which it is. So I got to work on that, made some really good progress, and it's so cute. And for my birthday / Mother's Day, I got a surprise in the mail from Avery and Joey, a pottery toad house. It's got little windows and it's got a door and it's got a little hole in the roof that I told Tim that's the smoke hole for when they make their little fires inside to stay warm. And he looked at me like, you have
lost. They have their little pipes.
Right. Exactly. When they're smoking their little pipes in their little toad house, the smoke's got to go out the hole.
The smoke hole.
Smoke hole. And he looked at me like I had lost. This was it. This was the final straw. She's gone round the bend. But I'll put pictures. I'll send pictures for you to post of like the before and the after. Like I said, it's not quite done, but it's really good progress. And it's so cute. And the little rocks. And there's little solar mushroom lights, and there's a little swim pool, a little pond for them.
Sorry, my child is buying a house. I think
okay.
Everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You haven't told the people.
So, okay. Oh, my gosh.
Turn off your dinger.
I can't turn off the dinger.
Turn your ding-a-linger off.
I've tried to turn the ding-a-linger off, and I can't.
Oh, gosh.
This is going to be Let me go in there and
tell him. Tell him we're recording, but he will be available in about an hour.
Well, it's the whole House of Shank thing.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So everyone's chiming in. Updating her wonderful son Caleb is buying a house. I'll let her tell more, but while she's texting,
I think it's stopped. No, his appraisal just came back. Everything's good. And oh my God. Anyway, he did. Yeah, he's buying his first house.
Guys, it's big, big moves.
And it is. And it's a really pretty house. It's a really, really cute house. Of course, I am in small town Savannah, so the price tag on it about blew me over.
Almost put her down, you guys. She almost had to take to the bed.
I mean, and I realize, you know, the city is just a whole nother thing.
And Chattanooga is really a growing market right now, too. So, yeah.
Well, and he's north of Chattanooga now. But I'm going to tell you, Holly, the closer that he got to Chattanooga, I mean, a $300,000 house was nothing that I would even live in.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, I just was.
Yeah, they are very hot market. It's a small city, you know, as cities go. But it's a very fast growing. The real estate there is like on the cocaine or something. So
Yeah.
Which bodes well for him. Get in and get a house and it's easy commute. Like the roads aren't the best in the world, but again, what looks like on the map is far away. That's been really tricky for me. I can't get the visual. I'm getting it now better and better. But like when I'd look at the map and see where they all were, like, and Avery and Joey are right downtown and Caleb and Hud, they've just been up on the north side, but like, it's literally a 10-minute drive. Like, it's not a far drive at all, but on the map, it kind of looks far. Anyway, yeah. I've had to adjust to like the scale of that.
I think he is half an hour from Chad now.
Yes. He's a little further out.
Drive into the city or to his work.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 20 minutes to his church.
But I think he's also nearer more stuff. Like, yes. Maybe yeah. More shopping and kind of things like that.
Yeah, there is. I think there's a little town, Hickson, mm-hmm. or something that has a, you know, all that. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's big moves. Wow. We're very excited. And we're going to be heading down at some point to help him decorate because he's called upon all of us to get his little, and I've told him no. He's so cute. I told him last night, Joni, I said, if you had told me 20 years ago, 50, that Caleb Shank would be sending me Pinterest boards for me to help him decorate his house, I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't have believed you. I would have called you a liar.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, you got to make a Pinterest board. And he's like, okay. And he's doing it.
Caleb is a testosterone-filled child. I mean, he came out hairy. I'd start calling him Esau. At a very young age, it's just this ball of fur.
But he's got good, he likes a nice environment and he's excited about his, you know, first place as he, you know, should be. And so I said, start a Pinterest board because the thing I like to, you know, is I want to see what he likes because I don't know what does he like? You know, that's very important to kind of go.
I think the classy rustic. It's probably a good.
Yes. Some good clean lines, some nice natural materials. I was very impressed, but you can really see a lot just by pinning a bunch of pictures that you like. You don't even know what it is about it anyway. So we're working on that design aesthetic for Caleb. And I did tell him, I said, no, we're not putting any flags, a banner of any kind hanging in the main.
Yes, that has been the thing with my boys from their teenage years.
Right. He's a grown man with a job buying a house. I said, now we can find a spot for him. If there's a basement or a garage, we can make that very cool with all your little sports flags and all your little, we can make it good. I'm not shunning them. I'm just saying they're not going in the living room.
Let me say this to you. John Garrett and his friends and Caleb have been listening to our podcast discussions about Aunt Linda. cold-hearted.
Oh.
And Caleb and John Garrett are laughing so much. And they were like, I really need to know her better.
They do.
And so now they are ready to come to St. Louis and spend some time.
Okay. They want some Aunt Linda time. I think that's a great idea. Yes. Come on. We got places to stay. And I think they do. If you can get her to be still and sit for a minute, because she's on the go.
Well, John Garrett would keep right up with her.
Yeah.
Where are you going? Okay, I'll go. What do you need? We'll do this.
Well, no, she's got a million people to go do and see. But she loves to. Yes, we could definitely do that, because they do. They don't understand. I think they think she's just this sweet, you know, kindly older lady, and they don't know the cold-hearted truth. I love you, Aunt Linda. Please don't.
Aunt Linda, Holly said that, not me. That was not me. I am out. I am not participating in that at all. That's all.
I know. She knows that I love her. So anyway. Oh, my goodness. So Toad House. I don't know how we got it. We got everyone updated. I forgot we hadn't even talked about.
Oh, because we were talking about Toad House.
Yes.
And it kept buzzing in. Okay. So.
Yeah. So they sent a Toad House, Avery and Joey, and it's so cute and it's adorable and it's all set up. And so like, I'm waiting for them to come, and Tim's like, I'm just going to go get you some toads. I'm like, no, I want the wild ones.
We'll walk in with a box of toads.
He goes, I'm going to go to a creek and go catch one. I said, you're going to take it away from its home where it is and enjoying to and come here?
A box.
To what?
A box. With this toad in it. And when he looks at it, the toad's going to go, hello, my darling. Hello, my honey.
Hello, my food time, man. That would be amazing.
And then when you look at it, it's going to go, ribbit.
Yep. It plays its little banjo. Oh, if you guys don't know what that is, you're missing out. That would make my day. Anyway, so I did that. This was hilarious. So we truly are. And to no one's surprise, we are just turning into those old people. Like the bird situation in our house right now, the bird watching, the bird feeders, like outside our back window. I think he's up to six. I think he added a couple more. There's like six bird feeders, and it's fun. We both love it. I mean, because it's right outside our window. So if I'm inside, I can see them. If we're outside, sitting out in our backyard by our little table umbrella, they're right there. But he'll just go out there. We both will. But Tim will just go out there and just watch those things for an hour, just watching them come and go. And it really is very fun. And the yard gets really loud and all the different kinds. Well, the other day, he had filled up the bird feeders. So he's gotten really good about doing that, keeping them pretty filled. And especially on the weekend, he gets them all filled up. And he had filled them up, and I came out. He had been sitting out there, and I came out and sat down, and he looked up at the window. He goes, well, look, they've already gone through half that. He's like, I just filled it, and that one's already, and it's a pretty big, fat feeder. And he's like, that one's already down, almost, you know, three quarters down. And I looked at it, and I went, and it was. And then I looked at the ground, and the ground was just covered. There was just a pile of bird food. And normally there's a little bit, like, you know, it spills out and they make a mess and all that, and that's fine. But there's this pile of food. I'm going, what? And then I looked at the birds on there, because Tim's like, they're just really going at it. I said, Tim, they're just throwing it on the ground. And the birds were on there just flicking it out and literally not eating it at all, just throwing it on the ground. And I looked at the pile on the ground. I went over there and I could scoop up a whole fresh, like, I'm like, this is the bird seed. I'm like, they're not eating it. They don't like this seed. And he goes, oh, I did buy some cheap. That's the cheap new stuff. I bought a cheap bag of bird seed. And the birds weren't having it, Jenny.
You know, my dog's dog now, but they would dig through there. Like, they'd have different flavors in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, like, take out the part that they didn't like.
The dogs would eat the bird seed?
No, the kibble, like in the dog.
Oh,
food.
The kibble in your kibble. Okay.
They go through and find, you know, the darker pieces that they like.
I know. It was like, and we've been feeding these birds, and he had filled up all the feeders with this cheap, it was a different color. And he goes, oh, I bought this cheap bag. I said, well, they don't like it. And they literally all then went away. And I said, they're fixing to stage a protest. You better look out. because they're like on a hunger strike. They're not having it with your nasty, cheap bird food. So they kind of swooped around. Literally, they weren't going on it. So he, of course, he goes, well, I've got some of the good left in there. And he went and he emptied all the bad out and he refilled it all up with the good. And sure enough, slow and steady, they trickled back in. And I said, well, you just averted a major interspecies.
Species attack.
Interspecies situation.
Gone and gotten the crows to come down and attack Tim's head.
Yes, I got a little nervous. I'm like, these birds are going to swarm. And I was like, it's him, you guys. I didn't do it. It's all him.
It's how the movie The Birds got started.
Right. They gave him bad seed. But it was so funny because they literally were throwing it on the ground. Like, they were making a point of, hey, dum-dum. They were like, hey, dummy. We're not having this. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So that's it. We had the birds protesting. I made my toad garden. But, you know, we can talk about, did you catch the Derby?
I did watch the Derby. I did not watch the whole preliminary.
I mean, I didn't either.
Because I like to sit there and listen to the stories. And all
no,
that.
I didn't do that at all because I realized Tim paused our Hulu account. And because we don't really, and we're just trying to, you got to save some money, people. Then that Hulu be expensive. And it's what we get our sports on, though.
Right.
So yeah. I had to watch a replay, you know, later and all that. But this was a great one.
It was. And it was that, I've already forgotten the name. That one was nowhere in my wheelhouse.
Golden Tempo.
Usually, honestly, I get the winner is usually somewhere in my top three.
Mm-hmm.
This was nowhere in my wheelhouse.
Well, I didn't know anything about any of them. I hadn't even looked.
I was going for Commandment.
That was a good name.
That's probably why.
I liked that. No, I liked that name. Commandment. And wasn't there like Renegade? Wasn't that his brother? So here's the story in case y'all didn't watch it just really quickly. It's a great, again, you know, every year it's exciting, but this year was just a really, really good, beautiful weather and everything. Anyway, so the horse that ends up winning, Golden Tempo, they start the race, and he is in the dead last. He's the last one for a little bit, and then he's just in the back of the pack, really at the last or one or two, for like the whole, till the last stretch. And you could see, they show, of course, all the different, there's a really great overhead shot that they show where they're marking him, and he just weaves his way through, and y'all, he comes up, catches up with the jockey who's riding Golden Tempo. His brother is riding, I think his name is Renegade. I think that horse was Renegade.
Renegade.
And catches up with him, and the two brothers race to the very end, and Golden Tempo nudges it out and wins it. And the brothers reach over and grab each other's hands while they're like not even slowing down. It's so precious. And record-breaking first female trainer to win the Derby. And she lost her mind. Y'all go look at the video. You can watch as she lost
her. She was so excited. Yeah, you did hear the brother go nanny, nanny, boo-boo as he shot forward.
Did he? You're lying to me so bad.
I'm joking.
But y'all, you cannot write about, I mean, it was so, he was dead last and then just wove up, catches up with his brother. They come in one and two. His brother was number two. He just edged him out right there. They're like grabbing our arms at the end. There's a video too, of course, you can watch where with the race simultaneously with the trainer on the side. Just, you know, for just watching it first because her horse is in last.
Yeah.
I mean, you're sitting there and she's just kind of sitting watching. And then you can tell at whatever point he starts to move because she's like, she kind of sits up and is like, go. And she starts... She starts cheering, yelling. It was amazing. And also, once again, 19 out of the 20 horses were direct descendants from Secretariat. They're all Secretariat,
yeah,
which is still the record holder for the race, I believe. So that would have been a good one to be at.
And this was so sad to me. They're putting the horses in, you know, and it was it White Shark? It's White.
Great White.
Great White. Great White.
Which is probably one I would have picked because the name and his coloring was so pretty.
It was a beautiful
horse. Beautiful horse.
But they're putting them in the gates.
Which is the scariest time. I hate that time.
Yeah.
I hate it because that's when something bad can happen.
And Great White reared up and he went too far and fell backwards. And it's a miracle that the jockey was not
hurt. Is a miracle.
He could have landed. That was a big old dog horse.
Was a big horse and he just flipped over back and he scratched. He had to, obviously you can't race.
This was that jockey's first race at the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, all those dreams, your family made it to the Derby as a jockey. And then, your horse is there, whoever's the horse, and you're at the gate.
You're there.
You're at the gate of the Kentucky Derby and boom, it's over just like that.
I know. This is such the most exciting 2 minutes in sport because and the pre just getting him in, it's such a short period of time that something is actually happening and you just don't know what's going to happen. I hate it when they're loading in the gates. That's always just stresses me out because you can see the horses, just bad stuff can happen. There's too much stuff around. But anyway, the horse was fine. Everyone, he did scratch the race because you're not going to race after that. But I know it was something else.
Another one that got scratched and I don't know the story behind that.
But. Oh, I didn't know two did. I didn't know that.
Got scratched. Okay. And one of them was pretty favored. I mean, the one before that, I can't remember his name, but anyway.
Yeah, they were talking about that at the race. I can't remember who it was called. He came out early. He was out in front early. What was his name? I don't know. But anyway, y'all go watch if you hadn't seen it. It's a pretty fun, time.
I love all the fanfare and the tradition and all of that. So
it's exciting. It's exciting and fun. So that happened this weekend. Got that done. What'd you do this weekend? Did you do anything at all, or did you just sit around and look at a wall like Grizz?
Grizz. It's just been a truly terrible, horrible week. Watched the Derby was my highlight of the weekend there. So
that's a good highlight. That's a good highlight. We had a nice little thunderstorm rumble through this morning, late morning, just a good rumbly, not those big cracks. And it cooled off.
Storm when I'm at home and I can appreciate peaceful. I don't know why it's peaceful. It's really not peaceful, but to me it's very peaceful.
This one was. Sometimes they're not because I don't like the big cracks in the lightning, but this one was just rumbly and rainy and dark. And it was like, oh, now the sun's back out. But it was a good little time. On another note of no importance, I'm once again on a quest for a new bra. And you guys know how much this just...
There is no good one. I've decided there is just no good bra.
Guys, why is it so hard? It's just stupid. And I guess...
It makes you understand, though, the feminist movement back in the 70s. Where they just went braless.
Yeah, but those were some flat-chested girls because I don't know what was going on.
I know. And now
I don't know about that.
Do it because then your boobs are playing peekaboo with your belly button.
Gosh, we're sorry, everyone. We're sorry for this, but this is what. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to my children. Anyone who's I'm sorry.
Welcome to 50.
But this is. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it. And I think what happens is, because I feel like I just got some that I really liked and I'm still wearing those. They're okay. And I think what I always feel like bras should last forever and they don't. And I forget that. And so they do start to stretch out and wear out.
And did we talk about this last week or was this just you and I?
I don't know.
I think I said, do you remember the bras when they were just that?
Oh, we did talk about it.
I mean, they were just pointed.
They were like armor. We did talk about. How do we talk about bras last week too?
Because that's all we.
Oh gosh, you guys!
They were just those pointed out like cones.
You did. You sent me the picture.
Poke your eye out.
They really were something. That was really. I don't know. Maybe that was better. I don't know.
I'll grab you and hug you, and it was an iPod. Oh no.
It was anyway. A situation, but all I just wanted, I needed the solidarity with you and our listeners that understand that once again, this is the quest. I've ordered some that are coming that again, the ad said are going to do all the things and that's fine. Again, I know they're not going to last forever. I have to understand that it's time you have to replace them. It's fine. But I want something really breathable. I'm tired of being, which leads me to something else I ordered. I ordered a product off the interwebs, off the Instagram. They're called Sweaty Melons.
Oh, okay.
Joni, you might have to get some.
Sweaty Melons. And wait, what did Tim order that was?
Grandpa's Weed Whacker.
Grandpa's
Weed Eater. Weed Puller. Weed puller.
It's getting worse. Okay, go ahead.
They're called Sweaty Melons, and I haven't tried them yet, so I'll come back and report.
I've got two of those.
Listen, you might want, this could solve our problems, some problems. So I'm testing it for all of us so we can find out if this is really a thing. And I'm not going to go into deep, but you all understand, there are women out there, it's the summer and things are touching and things are sweaty and it just pours down. It's just very uncomfortable. So this person has designed this like foam covered kind of thing. I should have brought one up here to show you. I should have showed you my sweaty melons.
I'm envisioning like a trough underneath.
Well, it's kind of a T shape. Okay, so it's like got a little up to go between. Oh gosh, I mean, I'd have to mark this episode. To go between, and then underneath, there's kind of this tube, you know, foamy kind of covered, and a piece in between, and then two underneath. And there's different sizes, so you can, anyway, whatever. And they absorb sweat. And I'm like, because that's really what you need. There's no material, like, I'm like, because I'm looking for a bamboo bra, I'm thinking that something that will really help with that as well. But there's almost, with elastic and stuff, I don't know what you can really do.
Yeah, because the soft fabric's just not going to give you any support.
I know. So anyway, but these just absorb the sweat and then you can throw them in the wash machine. Okay. So they come, there's a little bag, whatever, and you throw them in there and you lay them out to dry. And I thought if that works, that could be a game changer just to, you know what I'm saying? Cause I just don't want to go through another summer with this situation. I just can't do it, Joni.
Well, I don't know. We got the pool. We can just stay in.
I know that's true, but I'm just saying at some point we have to get out of the pool, put on bras and go somewhere.
And who says?
I'll bring a sweaty melon for you. Oh, you guys, listen, the internet got me because I was literally like, how am I going to solve this problem? There's no reason for this. I mean, there is, but it's ridiculous and stupid. So I will keep you guys posted on if these work because it's really, they're soft. They're nice. Like, I'm like, that seems like because you know, you've got times where you'll like shove paper towels and set like stuff to just keep it. And this will be nice. It absorbs it. You throw them in the wash machine. Sweaty melons. Okay. What did you want to add to that?
Oh, go ahead.
No, I want to hear everything you want to say.
I just was going to say, I don't know that I've ever shoved a paper towel up under my bosom.
Oh, I have. Oh, yeah, for sure. Not very often and not for very long, but sometimes you're desperate. So we'll keep you posted. Here's another topic we can talk about. I was listening the other day to a podcast. I think it was the Popcast, actually. And somehow they got on the topic. I don't even know how. It doesn't even matter. Of cemeteries and burial and stuff like that. And they were saying something about that some of these gravestones, I think they've seen it before, and they were talking about if they wanted to do this and if they did, what it would link to. Like these gravestones will have a QR code on them. And you can scan the QR code.
And there's somebody's life.
And it leads you to something. And it whatever, I mean, you know, you would think like, yeah, like a little video about their life or whatever, but what would
as a living person, I would actually like that just because I love history so much and, you know, to be able and go and, you know, and cemeteries now to me, we had, of course, especially small town, we had a tour, I guess, during October, and they would take you through the old Savannah Cemetery, and there were people there dressed in character, like, because we have some, like, Alex Haley, who wrote Roots, is buried here. We have, you know, just different, we've got some famous baseball players and some different things, so, or just some characters.
Yeah, around. Just people in history that maybe aren't famous, but they were historical.
Here, you know, I mean, for Savannah. And so people would dress in character, and then you would go on this tour around the cemetery and stop at each little station, and they would tell you who they were and about their life kind of thing. And I love that. So I was a tour guide through there.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved that, but I love those old, I like going through there. Oh, but as I'm touring through that, you know, when you're little, cemeteries are scary. You know, I mean, it's just like something's going to come up out of the ground and grab your ankle. And, you know,
you watch too many. Your sisters let you watch too many horror movies too early.
Oh, way too many, yeah. So, but, you know, cemeteries were scary. And then I realized as I was touring, you know, with all these people, I thought, heck, this is more like a reunion than anything. I mean, that, you know.
Yeah. Oh,
there's Miss Mary Chapp. Oh, there's Miss Jewel.
You're visiting your old friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you know.
Yeah. I love cemeteries. I love them. I kind of always have. I love a good cemetery. We go in the fall usually and drive through a couple of very historic ones here in St. Louis that are beautiful and old mausoleums and great. And it's just a, I know. Is it weird? Maybe. But that's what we like to do. But these QR codes, like you said, like I think that'd be really cool too, because you could see like their life. But I mean, you can really link it to whatever you want. So like they were talking about, they were like, well, what do you link it to? And that, you know, you could link it to like, I think someone linked one to Never Gonna Let You Go. Never, they Rickrolled them. They got everyone Rickrolled with their QR code. Yeah. So like, I can only imagine, like, what would Ron Schenck put on his queue? Where would that QR code lead? I don't know. What would you want? Is there a certain, you'd probably link it to like a Dolly song or something.
I would link it to the Designer Cornbread podcast.
Oh, of course.
I would link it.
Designer Cornbread podcast, no longer going, but here's the link. You are such a good marketer.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, but I thought that could be real interesting, like, because you could put it to whatever. You could put it to a video or a song.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. And then the other thing they were talking about too, which got me thinking, the other host was talking about how at her funeral, she's like, well, you don't have to worry about that, because she's like, or for me, she's like, I'm going to be cremated. And so she's going to have swag bags at her funeral. She wants, like, if people come, she's going to have, that's part of her planning, is she wants to give away swag bags with like Sephora gift cards and whatever she likes. And she's like, and I thought maybe I would like put a little pieces of my ash in each one, and then people could go sprinkle that wherever they like, a place that they thought was special. And the other host was like, what? Nobody wants ashy Jamie. What are you talking about?
No, matter of fact, when I guess when it was Ron's, I can't remember. I think it was Ron's mother, and she wanted to be cremated. And so we're going through all this stuff, you know, and it gives you, you know, all these things that you can do with their ashes.
Mm-mm.
And what? Listen,
no.
One of the things was you could have them made into a coffee mug. A coffee cup.
Woody ash, wood ash.
Wood.
That's horrible.
Looked at Ron. I said, the best part of waking up is mama in the room.
is so bizarre. You guys, we got to talk about this.
Why would you?
Why would you put it in a coffee? I can understand. I don't love the jewelry and the neck, but I can.
And you drink coffee.
But you're drinking a mug and then you like break it. And then you're like, oops. And then you guys, just bury them or fine. If you need to do a necklace or whatever, you can make me into a diamond, Joni, and wear me like a diamond.
Yeah, I'm going to tell a story on Ron Schenk here. His mother was cremated and the memorial service was in this beautiful old chapel. And the whole thing is wooden. I mean, you're going back. It's, small town Minnesota, farmland Minnesota. So this is old wooden stuff. It was beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful. Well, we're up front. And I did think, they had all these candles lit around. Mm. And I did think, there's a lot of wood if this place catches fire.
Yeah.
Which is probably actually safer, really. But so we're up front, and I guess Ron's nephew came up and said, hey, do y'all smell smoke? Do y'all smell something burning?
Oh, yeah.
Ron said, save yourselves. Don't worry about mom. She can't burn anymore. And I was like, oh, my
God. Oh, my gosh. He made a cremation joke.
Listen, the stuff that he said at that funeral.
He gets weird at the funeral, though. You know how when he gets, this has happened before, when he like thought he was a pallbearer and like went up and started. He just loses it at funerals. He doesn't know what to do. It just comes out weird. Poor Ron. That's his love language, though, is telling jokes.
It's something.
So he was trying. But I don't know. I thought the swag bags. What do you think about that? I mean, what would you say? Like, wouldn't that be fun if you went to a funeral and the person had prepared swag bags for people? It'd be amazing. I don't know what I'd put in there, but I really don't know. I'd have to really think that through. I don't know. You'd probably put in some kind of food item, some kind of little. Yeah, I put in the pimento cheese.
Hey, when I die, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a whole freezer made full of cookies, and I'll just put this plate on my body, on my hands, and I'll be just, they can reach in and grab a cookie.
We're not reaching in and taking a cookie out of your casket. Or what is wrong with you?
My cold, dead hands.
No, you could even have a sign, take one out of my cold, dead hand. Joni.
Laying there holding the platter, and you can just get a cookie.
But I like, we're not doing that. We're not putting cookies in your casket and having people take out and then start munching. No, we're absolutely not doing that. But the idea of the freezer or the fridge or, having them all ready to go when you die, if you were really, in your last days, you just need to be baking away and then we'll have them ready. Well, you even have to make cookies for your own funeral.
If they were, matter of fact, I'll go as far, if they were just going to bury cookies with me just because that was my thing. Boogie would reach in there and take the cookies out.
It'd be like a display that we were putting in there just to like honor you. It'll be a plate of cookies just like, oh, that's what she always had. And he would reach in and think he was supposed to take the cookies. And Tim and I will be like,
Tim would be reaching with him.
Just for her to be buried with, John. Okay. Oops. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Funeral death is funny. I understand it's not, but the things people do, it just kind of cracks me up. And something about the idea of a swag bag just made me go, why not? Like, you go to people's weddings, you get some little favor, like favors, like a little something.
A little funeral favor.
A little funeral favor. I might think about that. I might have to think that through. A little something. I could crochet little things or something, like little. And everyone could. Okay. As if I don't have enough projects. Anyway, that's all I have, you guys, on funerals and swag bags and bras and et cetera. So are you ready for your recipe, or did you have anything else that you wanted to tell us about your day?
Absolutely have zero to tell you. So I missed... I did some Cinco de Mayo recipes, mm-hmm. and I didn't even think about Derby. Usually
I didn't either.
Derby stuff, and I did not.
It totally skipped my brain this year.
We have Mother's Day coming up, And there is just, I have this wonderful, and I'm going to tell you, I'm stealing this from Paula Deen.
Okay.
But she has this little, it's called Paula Deen Celebrates. And she has, and she takes little menus or, you know, special events and stuff. And then she gives you the recipes from those menus. But
nice.
She has a Mother's Day tea.
Oh.
So Mother's Day is coming up. And so one of these is a lemon cup. And so, you know, I mean, her Mother's Day tea, for the menu, I'll tell you what she has. She has petticoat tails, which are just cookies, and pecan squares and lemon cups and cheese sandwiches, cucumber sandwiches, ham salad sandwiches, assorted teas, you know, just.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely.
Oh, Mother's Day tea. But so this is her lemon cups recipe. And you are going to need 3 large lemons and a cup of sugar, 4 eggs, half a cup, which is 1 stick of butter, 2 packages of just the pre-made, the frozen little mini phyllo shells. Mm-hmm. And you do want to thaw them though. And then it's just slivers of fresh fruit, whether you want to do strawberries, kiwi, blueberries, any, you know, anything like that.
Okay.
Okay. So here's what you're going to do. You are going to grate the zest from the lemons and then juice the lemons. Combine the zest and the sugar, not the juice yet, just the zest and the sugar in the bowl of a food processor and process that to mix. You do want the blade, not the, you know, I know it's got different slicers and stuff.
But okay. You want to puree it up.
Right. And then once that's kind of mixed up, you're going to add the lemon juice and your eggs and just process that until it's blended. So then you want to melt your butter in a double boiler and then come back and add your egg mixture to that butter and just stir it until it's blended. Cook it for about 5 minutes. You just want it to thicken up, you know, like because you're making a lemon curd.
I was going to say it's a lemon curd, which is I adore.
Yeah. Yep. And then you pour that lemon curd just into a container. Make sure you've got a lid to cover it and allow that to cool and then refrigerate it until you're ready to use it. You don't want to fill the phyllo cups until you're ready to serve them or they
it'll get soggy bottom. They'll have a soggy bottom.
Welcome to my world.
Soggy bottom. She's got a soggy bottom.
And then you'll just, when you're ready, you're just going to either spoon it or pipe it. You know, just that you will have to have a, you know, large opening there for your pipe.
I wouldn't probably pipe it. I do this with lemon curd already made. I have not made it myself, but it's the same thing. Those phyllo cups with the lemon curd. And then I always do I just put a beautiful raspberry on top. Yeah. I don't know if it would pipe. Do you think it would pipe?
For me, it's so hard. Anytime you've got a thick thing like that, it's sounds
messy.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it sounds like, oh, I can make this design. But really, you want it to be flat anyway, you know, it's
not. Yeah. And it's like, I don't feel like that'll hold a shape and also just to fill it in that thingy, I would just do a little, a spoon or something.
I would use your garnish. I mean, you can always, you know, kind of flip it with a spoon, put a little design or something on it if you want to, but.
Yeah. I've never made lemon curd. I never even thought about it. I just buy it at the store in the big city here, like a Yankee, but. Yeah, I know, but it sounds amazing. It's so good. It's such a zesty, custardy, but it's just a whole little situation. And just that little bite is so delicious. Now I want it really badly right now.
Garnish it with just, you know, a little bit of fruit will make it beautiful there. Mm-hmm. So that's my recipe.
That is amazing. That's a good one. A Mother's Day tea, man. There's nothing. I love a tea. I love the little, my kids have loved tea. I raised them doing teas and they still love them. Cucumber sandwiches, that ham salad. I do the same thing, ham salad sandwich. And it's just a good, and you sit there and just munch and drink tea. It's like girl dinner before girl dinner was a thing, you know?
Yes, I love them too, but I have never done that.
Okay.
Because my boys.
No, I know. I understand. You need to come up here and we'll do some tea.
All right.
Go to the London Tea Room and we'll treat you right. That is outstanding. I think it's your top three.
Top three.
I am ready. Okay. So one is a muddy mat. And
I've wanted to try those.
So I've got one because I am tired. You know, I have hardwood floors. I don't do carpet. I don't do very many rugs. Mm-hmm. And I'm so tired of the dog coming in the back door and it's just dust and just
dirt and mud and wet.
Oh, muddy paws or muddy mat, not muddy mat. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's one. And this one I'm going to tell you I have done before on a top three, but it is the season. And so I'm bringing it up again.
That's fair. If that's your one for the week, that is fine.
And it is called Come and Get It.
Oh, you...
Yes. Fire ant killer. I don't know if y'all have the problem with fire ants that started happening now in the South. And I don't really know when to start because we didn't have fire ants up here when I was little.
I was going to say that seems newer in your area, but I guess they spread.
Yeah, they do. They've been coming up from Mexico.
They're riding on the armadillos. They're riding on the backs of the armadillos.
Depths of hell, wherever they come from. I'm telling you, fire ants are horrible, horrible creatures.
They are.
And they are very difficult to get rid of. Nothing I've ever tried has seemed to work, except I found this Come and Get It.
I love the name.
I know.
And I just love it.
Yeah. So I promise you that now sometimes they move, but it's then the colony is smaller and you just put that over it. And eventually, I mean,
it'll keep getting smaller and smaller till it's gone.
It's just gone.
Okay. That's a timely thing. Cause you're right. It's time to get out in the yards and stuff. So people be needing that.
Okay. And here's my next thing that I have found that I have loved is Cocorina Reed Diffuser. It is supposed to be non-toxic. I have looked it up and it is, they say, non-toxic.
Okay.
It has the reeds, but then it also comes with these little flowers, you know, just little like baby's breath kind of things that poke in, or it could be eucalyptus. It depends on what you buy.
Oh, this sounds so cute.
Like for Easter, I got an English garden was the smell of it. And it had the little, I don't know what it's called. I'm not, Holly can probably come up with it off the top of her head, but it looked like little pink baby's breath. Tiny flowers and they're just little steamy things that you put down there and they're so pretty.
That sounds so cute. I never thought about the reed diffuser, but just making it a flower, like making it like a little bouquet. That's amazing. I'll have to look at you guys, if you don't have a gift already, this is Thursday. Too late. You're doomed if you're hearing this now. I was going to say it's a great Mother's Day gift, but too late.
Hey, look, if I were to buy it right now, and this is Monday, it says it's would be delivered on Wednesday.
I know.
So you might get it for Mother's Day.
Maybe. Or at least you could be like, it's coming. Yeah. If you hear this on Thursday or something like that. But
I'm looking at their things. They've got Antarctic flower, a bamboo stream flower.
Oh my gosh. I want them all.
black forest flower. I mean, they have several fragrances. I'm trying to find.
What a creative idea.
Yeah, it really is. Coconut lime. Oh, look, they have, and this is not me, but it may be for somebody. Clean air rose is one, and it actually has a rose that comes out that they send.
Okay, what's the name of this brand again?
Cocorina.
I'm looking it up really fast. Cocorina, like R-I-N-I?
O-C-O-R-R-I-N-A.
Oh, I can't type. I got to look up a picture of this right now. Oh my gosh, those are so cute. Well, that's just genius. Okay, so it's got the reeds and then interspersed with that are all your little flower things. Yeah, ooh, the Black Forest one is pretty.
And it's just simple stuff. I mean, it's not over, you know, it's like not like, boom, here's a big flower.
No, it's a little, the eucalyptus one is pretty too. Eucalyptus moss.
Yeah, but there's one that actually has the eucalyptus. Like I looked at.
And the eucalyptus moss does.
Does it?
It's got like some littler branches and then a couple pieces of eucalyptus. It's got a couple different things in there. Yeah. Oh, very creative. Oh, the cherry blossom is like big pink flowers. Oh, I see the one you're seeing. There's one that just has a piece of eucalyptus.
Yeah.
It's a smaller looking gypsum flower. You guys, they have a million of these. Redwood reed. Oh, That's cute too. It's got just little green branches and it's a green bottle and it's called Redwood. Okay. Okay, I see the situation. That's a good one, Joni.
Thank you.
And the smells are nice. Like it smells like, you know what I mean? They don't give you a headache or anything.
Oh, it's not overpowering.
Okay.
At all. No, it's, I've really been pleased with it.
Nice. Okay. That's a winner. I like that.
Yeah, it does not smell like a teenage boy with the cologne.
Or like a air freshener, like a truck stop air freshener.
I'm just going to tell you that I had a boy come up and hug me at prom. And the smell stayed on my dress.
Mm, yes. Yeah, he was dosed up. He was
dosed.
He was fresh. Well, bless him. You know, it was a special night. He probably had to add an extra couple squirts.
Yeah.
Joni's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I know.
Always when the freshmen show up.
I know.
The freshmen show up at high school.
It's a lot.
Like their first couple of days, they smell like an ex body spray factory exploded.
Because they've just gotten to, it's right at that age. Eighth grade, like we're done with eighth grade, and obviously we're starting to really smell.
Well, and we're moving up to the high school,
so and we're moving up to the high school, and we're aware of situations a little more, which is wonderful. But we forget that less is more, and you just have to.
They just have to figure it out.
A little dabble, do you? So yeah, no, it's true. I remember walking through clouds of it in high school, back in high school, just clouds. I mean, that polo sport almost took me out. And Dracar, that was a lot. I still remember those fragrances. Well, thank you for sharing that top three. That was very good. I think that's all I have. So we hope you guys have a very, very wonderful week and leading up to Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It is this Sunday, right?
Sunday.
It's the 10th. Okay. I'm losing track of my dates a little bit. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas and grannies and everybody. We're just so thankful for moms and their influence on our lives and the examples and for right and for wrong. And I heard someone say the other day, it was really interesting. You know, I can't remember what the context was. It was coaching something anyway. And, you know, as moms, we can, we're sometimes our own worst critics, you know, and dads too. I think dads feel the same way. And you wonder, and your kids are, you know, have you done enough? And have you done this? And, or you go through hard things with your kids and you're not sure if you've handled things right and all that. And it was, they said, you know, to tell yourself and remember, you know what, I've been a good mom and I've been a bad mom. I've been both. It's not one or the other. And I thought that was a very good way to look at it. Cause we all make mistakes. What'd you say?
I said, speak for yourself. I've been a great
mom. So you guys see what I have to deal with here. I'm saying most of us anyway, you know, and we can think it's one or the other, and it's not. You're a good mom and you're a bad mom. But you're the mom for your kids. You're the right mom for your kids. So I thought that was a great way to look at it and not be so binary about I failed or I succeeded. Like, it's like we're good moms and we're bad moms sometimes. And, you know, we learn how to handle it better and we learn how to apologize and we learn how to do all the stuff. So anyway, happy Mother's Day. And we will talk to you next week about who knows what. Hopefully no more bra talk. I'm sorry, but it's what's happening. So until then, goodbye, pellet.
School is about to be out. The bra is about to go away.
Oh gosh, guys. I said goodbye, pellet.
Goodbye, patch.
Oh. There she is. Almost. Hello. Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're the one I've always wanted. My arms are open wide.
Oh, Lordy.
You weren't ready for that, were you?
Not. I was not. There was nothing in this world that could have prepared me.
Listen, there ain't nothing like a little Lionel Richie on a Monday.
I know. I need a little Lionel.
See, don't we all? We all need a little Lionel, y'all.